The wisest man in the world says there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heavens. There is a time to be born and there is a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, and a time to tear down and a time to build. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. So my heart was heavy this week as I was thinking. I was trying to get my summer schedule figured out, and I didn't figure it out. And I didn't know what am I going to do today? And then I'm supposed to follow the lectionary and go through Matthew in the middle of it, and that's what's tugging at my heart. And see, last Sunday, Ben did what he was supposed to do because it's a double holiday. And there was two things to think about. There was Pentecost to think about, and there was Memorial Day, and he was focusing on the great sacrifice of the men of this country and women, 1.3 million soldiers who gave their lives so we could come together and preach and to share God's word and to live in freedom. And it was wonderful. It's quite a relief to me just to sit and watch. And he's amazing, isn't it? Someone said, here's your competition. I'm like, come on back. The floor is his, of course. So but this Pentecost, we missed it again. And this world, we get so, Christmas is, anyone have stress at Christmas? I do not. I used to when I was broke, because it was stressful. You wanted to get everybody something. And in the days we were get presents for the nephews and nieces and there's 30 people and you just can't do it. And you don't really want to eat with some people. And then where are we going to eat? We're going to go to her house. And you all know the Christmas pressure. And it's crazy. And where is it in the Bible that we're supposed to celebrate that like this? It's nowhere. And you read the history of Christmas and you see that it was barely recognized, like the 1920s, to a department store in New York City said, hey, we need to get some business going in the winter. Let's get Christmas going, right? Putting up lights and blah, blah, blah. And well, I'm not against it all. I think it's great, you know, but the stress of it. But we miss the point sometimes too. And we try it as a church to try to focus on the birth of our Savior, something we desperately needed. And it was in God's time. Then we get Easter, right? There's our other second holiday. We come to church, we dress up, we eat ham, and then you get a 10-pound rabbit, and then we forget things, right? And we move on. But there's a time for everything, God. And I'm for the celebrations. The celebrations we enjoy, we make them ourselves. You know, yesterday's graduation, you know, it was great. It was fantastic, but what's the Bible say to do? And we shouldn't do it, right, Bert? We were supposed to be there, and we showed up, and we celebrated the joy of our kids growing up, and we celebrate weddings. And I go to a wedding, and I hear about all the planning. They planned everything but the wedding. You know what I mean? They planned the shoes and the food, and we get there. Hey, how's this ceremony going to go? I'm like, don't look at me. You know, is that my job? Right, Bert? That's not my job is to stand here and read. I don't tell the bridesmaid to come to, but I don't, that's not my job. I will stand here and I will marry you. So weddings drive us crazy. What does God say to do, though? So we see his people in slavery. They're in Egypt. They're in captivity. And they have no rights. They can be slain. They can be taken away. Their babies are dashed upon the rocks. It's terrible. The Pharaoh is crazy. And so they call out to God. They pray to God and say, God, deliver us. So God, in his humor and his wisdom, sends an 80-year-old man who can't speak very well. And he goes and he says, let my people go. And it works because God brings 10 plagues upon the people. And they come out of a million strong and they're walking through the desert and they get food and they get manna. And he gives them the law on this day. Now I'm going to talk about Pentecost because he goes up to the mountain of God on like the 45th day, whatever day it is. It's the third month that's in here. They go up to the mountain Sinai and God's presence is there, smoke and fire. We call it the Shekinah glory of God when a theophany, right? When God is in physical form and they can feel his presence. They don't get to see his face, but he shows them in the cloud and they don't want to go. They don't want to talk to him. They're afraid. So they say, Moses, you go for us. And he brings them the law. And then here we have 2,000 years later where the disciples are in a room with 3,000 people and the Spirit comes upon them. And everybody says it's the same day, Bert. But it would make a nice romantic sermon if I could tie that up, the beginning and of the law and the Spirit coming. But it's not the same day. It's not the same time. So there goes that sermon. Oh, now what am I going to do, Keith, huh? Plan B. It's not the same day. But after he brings them the law, he gives them the Ten Commandments. You know them, and don't steal, and worship God, and love your wife, and don't envy. And he says to the people, gather them together, before they even have their own nation, he says, I want you to celebrate. I want you to have a good time together. I demand that you have a party. That's kind of, people always say, I don't like God. He's kind of restricting and he doesn't want us to have any fun. He wants you to have fun, doesn't he? Good fun. Lots of food, finest meats, cheeses, have wine. He says in Deuteronomy 14, when you have a party, you know what you need to do? You need to get some money, go buy yourself a cow, go buy yourself fermented drinks, and have a good time. You know, did you know he said that? Have a good time. Not everybody, fermented drink is not for everyone. We know this, but he says, have fun. I've blessed you. Take time out. Here's what you need to do. You need to take the Sabbath off. We just read the story, right? God worked for 6 days. On the seventh, he rested. Every Sabbath, you must take off. You must. Why? Jesus says it's for us. We weren't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for us. A day of rest to stop, to re-energize so we can serve him the next day. Does everybody take the Sabbath? Remember, Bert, when the old, what's that, committee, DCOM would come around? Bert, how do you Sabbath? And you're like, I ain't got no time off, right? And that was the wrong answer. They would get mad at you. So you had to lie to the DCOM. One pastor lying to a whole room of pastors is what we do, right? You just tell them what they want to hear. I wasn't always good at that, telling them what they wanted to hear, obviously. Can you play the game, Sean? I sure can't. So, Sabbath. Take off once a week. Take that day. Make it holy. Once a year. God says, do this every week. It's for you. It's a gift. There's the Passover, and you know the story. I'm not going to cover that. Then there's the first fruits. After that, what you do is when you move into the land, there's going to be the harvest. You're going to go in there. You're going to take a sheaf of grain. You're going to give it to the priest. It's the very first one, the very first lamb that is born. It goes to the priest. It is the first one born goes to the Father. You see, the first bit of our money goes to the Father, right? Who pays him out of the change that we find in the car seat? This isn't a tithing thing. You all are generous, but do we give him the first? We give him what's left over. God says, I want the first. Cheerfully. Bring a spotless lamb, of course, right? It can't be without defect. I'm not even sure what that means. They all look the same to me, the sheep. Bring the sheaf of wheat. Burn it for the Lord. It's an offering. And celebrate what he has blessed you with. Then when you're done with that, 7 weeks later, 7 times 7 is what? 50. That's right. So from the day of the Sabbath, the day you brought the sheaf wave offering, count off 7 for weeks, and on the 50th day, present an offering of the new grain. It's the harvest of the year. The first, when it first comes up, the hay is up, right? This is second cutting out there right now. Anybody see those farmers and you feel the urge to help? Keith, you ever want to jump out of your truck and start handing bales with them? Oh, no. Them days, that ship has sunk, right? Them days are gone. We did a lot of that. Chop wood all winter, skin hides, throw hay. No, thank you. So that the new grain, the first cutting, the strawberries are out, right? The first ones were little, weren't they? Now they're getting bigger and bigger. First ones, you give them to the Lord. Those are his. Take a young animal again and sacrifice it. And then you eat the rest and you celebrate. And how long is it you're supposed to do this? Is there a time limit in the Bible? What's it say? Forever and ever and ever. Don't forget the Passover. Don't forget to take off on the, never forget the Sabbath. Don't forget the first fruits. Every week you're given a paycheck, and don't forget who brought that to you. And celebrate with your people. See? Celebrate, celebrate, celebrate. What next? There's one more coming. It's the Festival of Weeks, I'm sorry. And that's where we are. So what's happening here in the book of Acts? How are we getting to this thing called Pentecost? And it's a Greek word. So I always thought Pentecost was when, after the Holy Spirit came, and then we called it Pentecost, because you've been to a Pentecostal church, right? Who's been to one? It's fun, isn't it? Not dull, is it, Keith? They are rocking and rolling in the aisles, you know? And people were jumping up, getting healed, and falling down, and it was, well, that's what we need to do. Everybody needs to start. Come on. The bass player, he was, boom, boom. It was like, I was sort of not all in, and that's the last place you want to go if you ain't all in yet, you know? So I can go now. I can walk right in. I'll have a good time with you. But boy, if you don't quite understand it, it's something crazy. So here we have in the book of Acts, we move back forward 2,000 years. God says always celebrate. So what is Jesus and his disciples doing during this week? He's going to the city of Jerusalem for the Passover. God says every year you must come. And so they go. And there's over 1 million pilgrims in the city of Jerusalem. It's flooded over. And that's why they send the guards to come from Rome. And the King Herod comes by. And everyone's paying the temple tax. And it's a time of profit. And it's a time of buying the sheep. And we know that there was over 1 million people because there's 250,000 sheep that were slain the week of Jesus' death. Because the Jewish people kept good records, didn't they? They wrote it down. They wrote it down since day one, right in the beginning. So they're coming from all over the world. You have to go to Jerusalem for the Passover. They're coming from Cyprus. They're coming from all the different places. Cyrene, Cappadocia, Elam. Everyone's coming because God says, come for this. And of course, Jesus comes with his disciples. And there he's crucified and he raised again. But Jesus says, wait, don't go anywhere. Stay in town. Something's going to happen. It's going to happen soon. It's going to happen when? It happens on the 50th day after Passover, the festival weeks. People are still there. Wouldn't you like to go on vacation like in April 6th, and by 50 days later, you're still on vacation? That's living, isn't it? I want that lifestyle. That was great. This is what they did. Here we get 4 weeks off a year or 2 weeks, and people, you know, sometimes it's paid, sometimes not, and it's not what we need, is it? We need this time to take off to celebrate. So here they are. They're all gathered in a room because they've heard about Jesus. And here's what happens. Acts 2. My goodness, it's 12 o'clock. I could talk a dog off a meat truck. What's wrong with me? When the day of Pentecost came, and they were all together in one place, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were eating, sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. It separated and came to rest on each of them. There's a howling wind. We see this at Mount Sinai, right? It's a Shekinah glory of God, they call it. We see his presence in the wind, and we see it in the fire. And we're filled. And what comes upon them? The Holy Spirit comes. And they began to speak in tongues. And that's what the Pentecostals do. If you've been in a Pentecostal church, the preacher, we were there, and he just started doing the, you know, and he was like vibrating and stuff, and then he came out of it, and I was like, okay, the Eagles are on at one, gotta go, you know? I'm not busting on them, but you gotta go to one. It'll wake open your eyes. So they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues, not gibberish, but of the language of the people around them. You see, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard the sound, the rushing wind, the crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard their own language speaking, you see? One speaking French, one speaking Italian, they understand each other. One speaking Scottish, and no one understands him. But on that day, they did. And so it's the curse of Babel reversed, isn't it? Babel, God gave everyone a different language so they would stop building that. And then on this night, they come together and they all understand each other. Jesus reverses every curse. Utterly amazed, they ask, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is that we can understand each other? We're Parthians, we're from Medes, we're the Elamites, we're residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, we're from everywhere. Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome. everywhere. Even Cretans are there from Crete and Arabs, and we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. Amazed and perplexed, they asked each other, what could this mean? Some, however, were making fun of them. People walking by, you hear this gibberish, you hear all these voices, and what do they think? They must be drunk. And they said, we're not drunk. It's not even 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, there's a story, but that's not for today. Then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice, and he says, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain what's happening. These people aren't drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. This is a prophecy is being fulfilled from the book of Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour my spirit out on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. Don't forget this one. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What's it take? It's all it takes, right, Joey? We beat this one up in Bible study, didn't we? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Let me tell you about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs. You saw it. You saw the dead raised. You saw those with leprosy being healed. You saw the 5,000 being fed. You saw he walked on water. You see these miracles. He healed the woman bleeding. God did all these things, and as you know yourselves. But this man was handed over to be crucified. God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it's impossible for death to keep its hold on Jesus. David said this about him. I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest in hope. Because you will not abandon me, Father, to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. And he didn't. The prophecy came true. And what's my point here? I'm going to finish up. What's this all mean? We have wonderful celebrations. We have Christmas and we don't really like it. Easter we blow through. Celebrations that we made up are weddings and things. They're amazing. And graduations and big birthday parties. They're wonderful, but this is a day we need to stop and think about what God did so intentionally on that day of the harvest. Come, gather together. My son is dead. He's been raised, and you believe in him, and you call on his name, and you will be saved. Now what's the rest of you got to do? I got you from all over the world, and everyone understands the mission. I'm going to send you all out there into this broken, into this hurting world, and sending you all out there. And here's how I want you to live. And it's hard. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship of breaking bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to everyone you need. All right, so you putting your house up and we can sell it and give it away? You're first. We'll see if it works. That's a hard one, isn't it? He says be generous, right? That kind of generous. Be generous. They met together. They praised God, and every day more and more were saved. Then they go to their homes. The Parthians go back to Parthia, wherever that is. The Elamites go back to Elam. Mesopotamia is what, Iraq and Iran. Go back there and teach the word. Encourage the people. You know, you've seen him, Jesus crucified. You see him raised. They were there for those 50 days. They came for the Passover. They saw the crucifixion, the resurrection, and they saw him taken into the sky on Ascension Day, and Tom told you all about that 2 weeks ago. And here we are together, and you've got the Spirit. The same Spirit that was hovering over the earth in Genesis, right? Hovering over the earth as it's being created. This Spirit is hovering over us. What are we going to do with it? Many times I feel that I'm not a fatalist. I think I'll live to be, I don't know, 60 maybe. That's next year. But I sometimes think about, I think I may just drop dead one of these days. And I sure as heck want Mrs. Thrash to know what I thought of her. And I'm glad I said what I said. I sound a little, I don't know, maybe I'm... And I see my friend Dave Palmer, he passed away a few months ago. I told you. And his grandson was there. I wanted to steal that baby. Most beautiful thing next to Alexa I've ever seen. Curly hair. So I get to talk to him about his dad, because at his funeral, people tried to be cute. And I left upset, because he was a little odd. But everyone wanted to kind of pick on that. And I didn't like it, because he was my weird friend, but he was my friend. And we drove together for 2 years in a car, 60 hours a week to Philadelphia every day. Picked him up at 5. We'd start work at 6:30. We got sick of each other. But as men, we loved each other. We loved each other's families. We loved each other's kids. We cared about each other on the job. When we got laid off, our hearts were broken. One of us had to leave the job. Men can love other men, be friends and love and care for the family. And sometimes we don't have this. And that's what I wanted heard. Of what a good man he was. Yeah, he was weird. He was a strange bird. Every one of you is strange. You know that, right? But the love he had, that's what we should have shared. And that's what I got to tell his son. And one day I'll tell his grandson if I'm around. And I hope, if I don't miss the opportunity to be generous. A young girl came to this church and she needs money so she can teach other girls about Jesus all summer long. And you gave her too much. And that was great. She's like, it's more than she needs. Cherry Hill Church made that cup runneth over. Now she can spend all summer teaching young girls. Because 15-year-old girls don't want to hear from me, right? We're going to send a 19-year-old girl to talk to the 15-year-old girl because of your generosity. I hope each and every breath of mine is going forward is kind of this, is sharing the word, encouraging people, maybe to my embarrassment of myself, but just doing it, praying with them. After I picked up $250 worth of beef yesterday in a little bag at my friend the butcher, he's getting his heart valve done, Bob Knutson. So what are we going to do? Let's, in front of the cows, we're going to pray. Let's pray right here. I'm going to pray for Bob next week. He's going to go in there and send something through his leg and change the valve in his heart. Amazing. So he can have more function. We're going to pray for that. So we prayed right there in the yard with the Amish boy watching. And so we pray. You pray. You don't say, I don't want to say, I will pray for you. I will pray for you now. You get it? We'll pray for wherever we are. Pray for him on the spot. When we go out, I hope we're overly generous. Not sell your house generous like the Bible says, but if you feel inclined, you can come live with me. I got a few cats, you may have heard. You see, this day shouldn't be forgotten. We blow through this Pentecost so fast. It means something. God is so intentional about what he does and when he does it and to whom. It's beautiful, isn't it? A group of strangers who can't speak the same language come to church and they walk out speaking the same language of love. They go home and they spread it. And this thing explodes like crazy, doesn't it? It's amazing. You want to pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your son. I pray that my mumbled mouth made sense today of what this wonderful day that you created, this day of Shavuot. This day of Pentecost, this festival of weeks of the harvest, this festival of people coming together under your name, leaving and sharing your word with a hurting and a broken world, showing each their community's love of Jesus, sharing what they have, breaking bread together, celebrating with joy, celebrating with the finest wine, celebrating with the finest meats and cheeses, with song and with the word of God, celebrating with our children so they never forget why we get together. There's a strong bond of family. Thank you, Father, for being who you are, for being to calling us your treasured possession, to being a people, a city on a hill, a light not under a bushel basket, but a light that shines. To be the salt of the earth. to share the word of the kingdom of heaven, to do it boldly, unafraid, and unashamed, unabashedly. We proclaim Jesus as Lord. Amen.